This is J. Lewis Mills, and you are about to be put on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Whether it's truth, controversy, good news, or bad. If it offends you, I'm sorry. If you agree, that's great. We talk about it all here because everything needs to be put on the level. Come in and join the conversation. I promise you'll be glad you did. Hello, hello. Once again, you have me, J. Lewis Mills, and you are on the level with J. Lewis Mills. Thank you all for joining me this evening. It's going to be a bit of an interesting show. If you follow me on my social media, you know that earlier this week, as well as today, I put up a message on my social media that if you had any questions to ask me, to email me. And I have to say, I got a good number of responses or emails, so we will get through as many as we can. I hope you all had a great week. I had a wonderful week. Looking forward to next week, but I will talk about that in a little bit. Before we get to the emails, though, I wanted to talk about a couple of things. The first one is, you know, the Bubba Wallace situation. I was reading, you know, the different, I guess you would call them, I can't say I was reading the newspaper, but I was reading online the different news stories about the FBI findings. And I went to YouTube also, and I watched a couple of podcasts. There was one in particular that really kind of upset me. And it upset me for a couple of reasons. First reason is because it's changing the narrative of what happened and in the garage at Talladega with Bubba Wallace. The second thing that really upset me was the host of the podcast was a black man. It would have still upset me if it were someone of a different ethnic background other than being black. But it really upset me because when you put negative things out there, you are only giving the other side fuel to their fire. This guy said that, and this was before the FBI investigation was over. This guy said that this smells like a Jussie Smollett situation. And you can't say that. You can't say that for a number of reasons. The biggest reason you can't say that is because Bubba Wallace is not the one that found the noose. It was somebody else. The information was reported to him. So in the Jussie Smollett situation, if you all don't remember it, which I'm sure you do, Jussie said that he was attacked. They threw bleach on him. They put a noose around his neck. And they were wearing masks, but they had MAGA hats on, Make America Great Again. And he said that he could see that they had white eyes, or he could see white skin around their eyes, whatever he said. Just because both situations happened to a black man, and this guy even went on and was questioning the level of blackness in Bubba Wallace as well as Jussie Smollett. Let me just take a minute and say, even back in the day when there were light-skinned black people that tried to pass, what they call passing was you're trying to pass for white so that you can have all of the same advantages of white people of that time. As soon as you got found out to be black, you were black. So there is no question in the United States of America, if you have black blood running through your veins, America is going to consider you as being black. Now, there are some people that will say, well, you know, there are different levels of black. Well, that has to be ignorant. That's got to be one of the most ignorant things that I have ever heard. The reason that's one of the most ignorant things I've heard is because if you have, like I said, any black blood running through your veins, there's going to be a part of America that no matter how light your skin is or how dark your skin is, you're still a nigga. That's it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's not like light-skinned black people are told, well, you know, you're just part black, so you're okay. No, if you have black blood running through your veins, if your mother or your father or your grandparents are black, then you are considered black. So for a black man to get on a podcast and question the level of blackness, he said that Bubba Wallace is the only black NASCAR driver. Well, if you want to call him black, he's actually biracial. No, sir. That's a black man. And what you're doing is you are taking away from our community because you want to see something through what I consider racist eyes. He even went on to say, and I don't know for sure or not, but I think Jussie Smollett is biracial also. It doesn't matter. America sees him as black. I mean, I have even seen, I've even had friends that were multiple friends that were, that had a one black parent and one Latino parent, or one black parent and one native parent. And they were still considered black. But another reason why you're changing the narrative when you try and say that what happened with Bubba Wallace was smells like a Jussie Smollett situation. Jussie Smollett is the one that said what happened to him. Jussie Smollett, however you say the man's name, is the one that went to the police. He's the one that had the conversation with Fox. He's the one that had the conversation with the show that he was on, Empire. Bubba Wallace didn't go to NASCAR. Somebody came to him and told him. So you're trying to put the blame on somebody who, in a sense, wasn't even involved in the situation. And I think that's wrong. And I think that's bad. When you change the narrative just to fit your argument, when you change the narrative just to have something to say on your show or on your social media, the problem is with you. You're not part of the solution. You are part of the problem. And as I said, if this would have been someone from any ethnic background other than black, or if it would have been a white person, I still would have been upset. But my level of pistivity, if I can use that word, was furthered because this was a black man. I get it. I understand. Everybody is entitled to their own opinion. But when you have people that say even your own people think this is a hoax, even your own people think this is bullshit, you're harming your people by saying that. Again, I understand freedom of speech. Come out and say what you want, but just understand what you're doing. Understand what you're saying. And this cat even said that he was born and raised in West Virginia. Last time I knew, West Virginia was one of those places where, you know, there's certain parts of West Virginia, if you have pigment in your skin, you really don't want to go. I mean, there's places like that all over the United States, in every state. But West Virginia is one of those places where it's for real. So for this person to get on YouTube and make the comments that he was, you don't understand how you're tearing down this situation. Now, if he's going to say this smells like a Jussie Smollett situation, then I'm going to say this smells like a Kanye West situation. When Kanye West was talking about how black people, slavery was a choice because it happened, he said 400 years, and I did a show last season about how it really wasn't 400 years. So he said, he basically was saying, if you go along with something for such a long time, you're making a choice. And I don't remember the brother's name, but the guy from TMZ, he explained it to Kanye West the best way I've heard it explained. He said, you have made a life for yourself where you have a lot of money. I'm just paraphrasing, where you have a lot of money and you are able to surround yourself in like a bubble. You don't have to deal with people the same way the rest of the black community has to deal with people. So with this gentleman getting on his YouTube, and just so you know, I sent him a message and I'm hoping he responds to it, because I would like to have him on the show, because I, you know, there is a bit of unfairness for me to say what I'm saying right now without him here to defend himself. But if he does accept my request to come on and have a conversation with me, I not only will tell him to listen to this show, but I will most likely say some of the same things with him on the air. So it's not like I'm talking behind his back. It's not like I'm saying something that I wouldn't say to him. But we have to understand in this new day, and I do believe that this is a new day. In this new day, just because you're black, that doesn't mean you can come out and say anything you want. Just because you're white, you can't come out and say anything that you want. Just because you're any ethnicity, you can't come out and say whatever you want. We are still in a volatile place in this country. It's not like everything is okay. So we still have to be careful of what we say, because if you sit there and you say that this was just a hoax, and yes, the FBI said that this happened sometime and they say as late as October from whatever evidence they had, which I'm sure there was some video that they looked at. They went all the way back and they said, well, it wasn't here this day, but it was here this day, and they looked at when it was. I'm sure that's what happened. I don't know, but I'm sure that's what happened. But even if that's true, or because that's true, it still happened. It was still a noose. And when you try and say that something is a hoax, people are going to believe it didn't happen at all. And it still happened. Now, if you want to say that every other race car driver that had a team in that garage, they didn't say anything about it, so that means they're racist. No, it doesn't. It really doesn't. All that says is it wasn't something that they noticed, it wasn't something that they realized. But when you work for someone like Bubba Wallace, that is the exception to the rule. Meaning he is the only black driver in the NASCAR Top Flight Series, I think is what they say. Because that's a thing, you are going to notice something like that. So I still applaud all of the NASCAR drivers and all of the crew that walked behind his car during the pre-race. I still applaud, I believe his name is Martin Smith, the guy from NASCAR that was on SportsCenter, and he spoke straight from his heart when he was talking about how bad that was and how ignorant it was. Yes, a lot of what he said was because they thought it happened right there with Bubba Wallace. But he still spoke from the heart, and his words still ring true to me. So it doesn't matter when it happened to me. It is a good thing that Bubba Wallace was not the victim of a hate crime. However, it still shows what type of people were in NASCAR at the time. I don't know if they know who it was. I don't know if what they're going to do, but it still shows what type of person was working on a NASCAR team. So I just wanted to get that out because it was fresh on my mind. Okay, take a breath. Okay, so I said that we're going to get to some emails, but this week I'm going to start running commercials. So I'm going to take a quick break. I'm going to let the commercial run, and then after the commercial is over, I'm going to come back and we're going to go ahead and hit up these emails. Like I said, I haven't read any of them. I just see that they're in my inbox. So when we get back, you're going to hear them for the first time, just like I did. Hi, this is J. Lewis Mills, host of On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. I don't use corporate sponsors because I don't want to be censored on what I can and cannot talk about. So I've set up a GoFundMe campaign. If you go to bbsradio.com/onthelevel, you will see the GoFundMe tab that will take you directly to the campaign. Anything that you can donate in order to keep my show going week after week, I will absolutely be humbly grateful for. Once again, that's bbsradio.com/onthelevel. You will see the GoFundMe tab. It'll take you right to the campaign. Thank you very kindly in advance for all of your donations. Now let's get back to the show. Hi, This is J. Lewis Mills, host of On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. If you are in the Los Angeles area and you need new headshots, I would like to recommend Eric Lee Huffman. He actually did my demo reel. You can reach Eric at headshotsbyhuffman@gmail.com. That's headshotsbyhuffman, H-U-F-F-M-A-N, @gmail.com. Or you can call him at 323-364-4685. 323-364-4685. Tell him J. Lewis sent you. Now let's get back to the show. All right, here we go. I'm going to head over to the first email. And so I got 56 emails. I'm going to get through as many of them as I can. We will see. You all understand I absolutely have the gift of gab. So I don't know what these questions are. I don't know if they're comments or anything. I'm just going straight down the line. All right, here we go. Let's go to the first one. J. Lewis, it's cool you are doing this. Just wanted to ask, how do you feel about Drew Brees? Jason Ames. So I guess Jason Ames is the gentleman that sent this. Okay, Drew Brees. He doesn't get a pass from me. I think the only reason he changed what he said was because he got dragged as much as he did by people on social media, and I'm sure that his teammates may have contacted him and gave him an earful of truth and reality. But here's why he doesn't get a pass from me. Number one, Colin Kaepernick, this started, if I'm not mistaken, either preseason of the 2016 or preseason of the 2017 football season, NFL football season, when Colin Kaepernick started doing this. And it was the last preseason game where he actually spoke about it. This is 2020. Drew Brees had from 2016 or 2017 to 2020 to educate himself, and he chose not to. He chose to listen to what other people were saying instead of what Colin Kaepernick was saying. But when he comes out and he says what he says about he will never support anybody that is disrespecting the flag, is what he said. The question was what he feels about, how he feels about kneeling in for the national anthem. And he wanted, he came out and he was talking about how his grandfathers fought in World War II. And I said this on a previous show. He says it like his grandfathers were the only ones that fought in the war. So because he changed his narrative, listen, he was asked a question and he gave his truthful answer. I am sick and tired of seeing people see the response that they get. And I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that. Yes, you did. Yes, you did mean to say that. And I read where Drew Brees wrote something to the effect of, I apologize. I now understand that kneeling has nothing to do with the flag or has nothing to do with disrespecting the flag. I have spoken to teammates. I have spoken to Black community leaders, and I've spoken with close friends, and they have helped me understand it has nothing to do with him disrespecting the flag. Where was your interest in talking to your Black teammates the black community leaders and your close friends, where was your interest before you sat on a television program and said in such a high and mighty way, you will never support anybody kneeling for the flag? Where was that when it counts? To me, it doesn't count after you get dragged on social media. To me, it doesn't count after you have people come to you, and I'm sure his teammates were upset with what he said. I can't guarantee that he got cussed out. I wouldn't doubt it, but I can't guarantee that that's something that happened. But it seems to me, just because you got dragged the way you did, just because you had your teammates or black leaders sit down and educate you, oh, now you're ready to say it doesn't have anything to do. When you spoke your true feelings before. And again, this happened several years ago. Drew Brees had all of that time to educate himself on what was going on. Or to educate himself. All he had to do was listen to what Colin Kaepernick had to say. Because I did a show about this with a former NFL player last season. And I played the whole conversation that Colin Kaepernick had, the whole interview he had after the last preseason game of whatever year it was, 16 or 17, that he did this. And he specifically said, this is not about disrespecting the flag or the military. I have family and friends that are in the military. And let me just say, it was a military man that told Colin Kaepernick, the best way to peacefully protest is not to sit on the bench, but it is to kneel during the national anthem. A military man told him that. But some people just want to keep going with the narrative he's disrespecting the flag. So here's what I have to say. If you think Colin Kaepernick or any other person that is kneeling or that is going to kneel in this upcoming season during the national anthem, and you are sitting on your couch at home, who the fuck are you? You're sitting on your couch. Oh, well, Jay Lewis, I'm not actually at the event, and it only matters if you're standing up. Bullshit. Why does it matter? Why do you have to be there? If you are watching a sporting event or you are watching some event and the national anthem comes on and you don't stand up wherever you are, whether you're in a bar, whether you're at home, whether you're at a friend's house, if you don't stand up, how are you not disrespecting the flag? Let's have that conversation. Why is it that because this man comes out and says, the flag is supposed to mean justice for all. And there are people in this country that do not get the same justice as others. The military is fighting and protecting the freedom of all Americans. So if, let me say this, if you don't understand, then you are the, or if you want to continue to say that kneeling is because Colin Kaepernick or anybody else is disrespecting the flag, you're the one that's disrespecting the flag. And I won't get into, because it's going to take too long for me to stay on one question, I won't even get into where it's written where you're not supposed to wear the American flag as an ornament. I won't even get into that conversation because, like I said, it'll take too long. You know, to me, it's kind of like religious people that want to come off and you want to say this person isn't living right, this person isn't living right, but you're standing in a pulpit with a suit on that has multiple fabrics. You're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to mix fabrics. You're not supposed to eat seafood, or, you know, there's a few. I don't know exactly what they are, so I'm not going to get myself in trouble. But I know you're not supposed to mix fabrics. But you got people standing in pulpits trying to talk about other people. How? Why? So I don't feel like Drew Brees gets a pass, or he definitely doesn't get a pass from me. I guess that's the answer to the question. Let's go to the next one. I am still watching Heartbeat. Wow, no wonder I'm still getting a residual check. Do you still keep in touch with any of your castmates? Will you be on TV again soon? And this question is from Sarah Long. Yes and yes. First of all, thank you. Thank you both for the question. I don't think I thanked the first fella. So thank you both for the question. And thank you for, you know, still watching Heartbeat. You're really not the only one. I have received messages from several people over the years telling me that they're still watching Heartbeat. You know, they got it. They bought the whole series on Amazon Prime. I actually think Heartbeat just came out in a particular part of the world because I don't understand why, but I'm getting a lot of friend requests from, and I don't know what I don't know what nationality they are, but over the last week or so, I've been getting a lot of friend requests on Instagram from, it looks like, a particular region. But to answer your question, yes, I do still talk to five of my castmates on a regular basis. I'm not going to say we talk every day or every week because people are busy, but I even still am in contact with a couple of the executive producers. And I think the second part of the question was, will I be on TV again soon? As a matter of fact, yes, I will. I can't speak too much about it right now. But very, very, very soon, you will see me again on a television show. And I can, unfortunately, I'm sorry. I know that sounds like, you know, BS, but very, very soon. Actually, if you follow me on social media, you can pretty much figure it out. But if you don't follow me on social media, yes, very, very soon I will be on TV again. And yes, I do still speak to castmates. See, that one didn't take that long. Okay, let's see. Jay Lewis, listening to your first two shows, it sounds like you don't like white people. The fuck? Jay Lewis, listening to your first two shows, it sounds like you don't like white people. Why do we all have to suffer for the actions of a few? And this was sent by a Chris Tompkins. Okay, this might be a long response. First of all, let me start with the why do we all have to suffer by the actions of a few? I don't know what country you live in, Mr. Tompkins, but it is more than just a fucking few. It's a lot more than just a few. You sound like somebody talking about just a few bad apples in the police department. And if you listened to my first show, I explained that there were 800,000 sworn law enforcement officials in the United States of America. So if you want to say there's 1%, there's actually 8,000. That in and of itself isn't just a few. How you came to think I don't like white people is absolutely beyond me. And I wish you would have put in your email, sir, I wish you would have put some type of an example of something that I said. Because my first show was done about George Floyd and police brutality. And my second show was done with a 19-year-old college student at Georgia State that I wanted to have a conversation with someone from the next generation to have my listeners get a pulse of what someone from the next generation thinks of all this. So what I said or what was spoken about to make you believe that I don't like white people, I kind of have to question whether you listened to my whole shows. Because I do also believe in both of my shows, I actually said I would not have the career that I have if it wasn't for white people. I think I said Caucasian people, but still the same. If I didn't have white people that believed in me, I would not have been on NBC if white people wouldn't have believed in me. I wouldn't have been in any movie that I have been in, except for one, if white people didn't believe in me. So I don't know what I did or what I said in order to make you think I don't like white people. And if I didn't have at least a little bit of common sense, I could answer that and let you – well, I'll say this. No, I won't. I would answer that in a pretty raunchy way just to help you understand how much you're wrong or how wrong you are about how I feel about white people. I don't think – I will say this. I don't think I could have a conversation if I didn't like white people. And what I mean is, if you listen, really listen to my show, the ones that I've done this season, I know I shouldn't say season, but I'm saying it. The ones that I've done this season and then shows that I did last season, I have actually spoke in defense of white people at times. So I'm sorry, Mr. Tompkins, you are completely wrong and completely off the ball when you say it seems like, I mean, I guess that's your opinion. We are all entitled to our own opinion. I get that. I understand that. But I will say your opinion is wrong. I do not dislike white people. There are some white people I dislike. There are some Latino people I dislike. I don't know if there's any Asian people I dislike. There are some black people I dislike. So it's like if I dislike somebody, it has zero to do with the color of their skin. It has everything to do with the content of their character. And I'm just going to leave that one right there. But thank you very much for voicing your opinion. Let's see. Hi, Jay Lewis. I listened to your show last week and heard you talking about Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Okay. I watched it twice but still didn't see you. I'm not saying you weren't in it, because I saw your name in the credits and checked online. where in the movie are you and how much did you get paid? Brian Fogelsong. Well, Mr. Fogelsong, unfortunately, sir, I can't tell you how much I got paid because that's G14 classified information. And I don't think it would be right for me to sit here and talk about how much I got paid for it. I will tell you, however, I got paid very well for it, just like anybody else that worked on or in that movie got paid very well. I will tell you that this is a project that I do receive a residual check for. So, you know, that's good. Where am I? So if you watch Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and you watch the, what was it called? I can't remember the name of the show in the show, the Western show. But Mr. Tarantino was gracious enough to actually give me a close-up. I'm lighting a cigar. Bounty Law. That's it. Thank you. I am lighting a cigar, so that's where you see me. As well, I was in a couple of other scenes that were deleted, and as we were talking about last week, I am hoping, as well as my guests from last week are hoping. So I was told that those scenes were going to come out on the director's cut version. I think that's just a DVD situation. I don't think you would be able to see it in an extended version. You might have to get a DVD because the other scenes that I did were scenes that Mr. Luke Perry was in. And just let me real quick say, not all scenes that are shot for a film or a TV show make it into the film or the TV show. There were times in the NBC show that I did, there were parts of, you know, my character or my other castmates' characters that were cut out due to time constraints. So just because we shoot something doesn't mean it's going to make it into the film or the TV show, but it is going to mean we get paid for it. So, I mean, I guess dark cloud, silver lining. But thank you, Mr. Fogelsong, for your question. Okay, let's see. Do you have an opinion on Bubba Wallace? Do you think he should get in trouble? Well, I think I kind of already answered that, but I will say no, I do not think he should get in any trouble because Bubba Wallace is not the one that found the noose. He's not the one that reported it. So I think my earlier commentary actually answered that question. But thank you, Mr. Chad Green, for sending that question. Jay Lewis, I would like to hear your real thoughts on President Trump. Oh, wow. Do you like him or hate him? Well, I'll say this. I do not hate the man because I am not going to give him that type of power and dominion over me for me to exert that type of energy. So I can tell you I don't hate him. And I guess I can say I don't like him either. I guess I'm in the middle. I don't like what he does, but you know, I'm sorry. Sometimes me being honest gets me in trouble. So this might get me in trouble with some of my listeners. Why anybody thought Donald Trump was going to be anything different than what he is because of how he was on The Apprentice is beyond me. You could tell 100% that that man was a self-loathing person, self-loving person on that show. Why does anybody think, or why did anybody think, being elected to the highest office in the land? And I remember seeing on the different news outlets people saying, you know, we hope he's going to drop all of that and be presidential. Or we believe he's going, I heard Republicans saying, we believe he's going to be presidential. I'm not a psychic. I'm not a psychic guru. I can't see into the future. I'm not a prophet. I'm not anything that you can, that sees into the future. But I saw this coming a mile away. On Election Day 2016, I believe they started broadcasting the numbers. It was either 3 o'clock or 3:30. And I was going over to my girlfriend at the time's place to watch the results, to watch the show, to see who won. I got to her house probably 10 minutes after it started. And Trump was already up, I think, by 13%. Or he was already up. Even though it was that early, I said to her then, Donald Trump is going to win this. You don't know what you're talking about. Sit down and shut up. He's not going to win. Don't say that. You're putting bad vibes in the air. You're putting bad energy in the air. Well, I'm not. I think Donald Trump is going to win this. That doesn't mean I want the man to win. But I understand where I was. We just had a black president. If anybody in this land really thought that America was ready to elect a female president right after a black president, you must not be paying attention to America. Even though Donald Trump lost the popular vote, if you thought a female president and Hillary Clinton was going to be elected right after a black president, you're not paying attention to America. Again, I'm no guru. I'm no prophet. I just pay attention. But even in paying attention, I can absolutely say, I don't know what America really expected. Donald Trump is always talking about himself. On The Apprentice, Donald Trump was always making it seem like he was the bread of life. So, no, I don't like the man, and I don't hate him. Because hate is, he's not that relevant in my world for me to actually hate him. And nobody is that relevant in my world for me to hate them. Okay, let's see. I have proof this pandemic is a hoax. Oh, my God. Just made up to rebalance the world. I would like to come on your show and talk about it. Here is my information. And he lists a telephone number, an email, and social media. This person's name is Adam Lewis. Okay, Mr. Lewis. I am almost tempted to have you come on this show just so I can lambaste your level of ignorance. And I said almost, I'm not going to do it. This is what I will say to that. And then we're going to, after I give this answer, we're going to, you know what? No, we're just going to skip it. This is what I have to say to that. You tell all of the people around the world who have lost family members and friends to COVID-19 that this is just a hoax. That's why I won't let you on. You tell every person that has had family members or friends or been patients in an ICU or in a hospital or had to quarantine themselves away from their loved ones because they got COVID-19. You tell them that it's a hoax. That's why I won't have you on this show. I would have you on this show just to, as I said, lambaste your ignorance. But I will not have you on this show. I hope you're listening. I will not have you on this show because you absolutely don't know what you're talking about. And I have a level of integrity for my show. But I will go this far and say, how dare you sit and say you have proof that this pandemic is just a hoax. Luckily, and I don't even want to say luckily, but I don't have any family members that have caught COVID-19. I have one friend, which was a former castmate of mine, that came out publicly and said that he had COVID-19. So I do have a friend. I almost said I didn't have any friends, but I just remembered recently a friend of mine did say he has COVID-19. Or he said he tested positive for the coronavirus. But I knew what he was trying to say. He didn't have any symptoms, but he still tested positive for it. So, sorry, Mr. Lewis. Nice try. Thank you for the question or the comment. Okay. We're getting down to the end, so let me just, I'll do two more, and then I'm going to take a commercial break, and I'll come back. What advice would you have for someone that wants to move to LA and try acting? I like acting and want to move there. Right now, I live in Topeka, Kansas, and work at a fast food restaurant. Would you be able to help me? Christina Owens. Well, Miss Owens, first of all, it depends on what you mean by can I help you. If you mean, can I answer your question? Yes, I absolutely can. I believe I can. First and foremost, you will not want to attempt to move to Los Angeles without at least $5,000 that you can use for housing, transportation, finding an acting studio, paying to get on the casting websites that you need to get on, and getting quality headshots. My advice to you, once you have the financial capability, at that point, you will want to find an acting studio, and you can do that online. Find an acting studio that you would want, you know, do your research, do your homework, figure out what acting studio you think would be the best fit for you. They would, and make contact with that said studio. most likely they will tell you, because they get people from all over the country and some from all over the world. Yeah, I'm coming to LA. I want to start taking classes at your place. Okay, you don't understand how many times acting studios have heard that and no one has shown up. So you will most likely be told to contact them once you get there. Email them or call them once you get there. You would most likely be invited to the studio to audit a class, is what they call it. And what you would be doing is you would go in and you would sit and you would watch an acting class. So the research that you would be doing would be finding studios that you could audit, and that would be your email. That would be your telephone call. Hi, my name is Christina Owens. I'm going to be moving to LA. Wanted to see if I would be able to come in and audit a class because I'm going to be looking for an acting studio to join. Once you join that studio, go to class. Go to class. That is where you are going to meet other actors, writers, potential future producers, directors. That's where your that is where your acting baby is going to be born. By going to acting classes, making those connections, making those contacts. So that would be my advice. Make sure you have the money. You don't want to move here and think that you're going to get a one-bedroom apartment by yourself. So you'll want to also do your research. You'll have to, and I tell people, use the pay sites, the pay roommate sites. Don't do the Craigslist thing because you just don't want to do that. So your first job is getting the money. Your next job is making contact with an acting studio, but you don't want to do that until you have a date that you're going to travel out. One more, and then I'll take a commercial. Jay Lewis, I follow you on Instagram and notice you deleted a lot of posts dealing with police brutality and racism. Why did you delete all those posts? Okay, this is going to be a long answer. So I'm going to take my commercial break now, and then I'm going to come back and answer that question. So I will be right back. Hi, this is J. Lewis Mills, host of On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. I don't use corporate sponsors because I don't want to be censored on what I can and cannot talk about. So I've set up a GoFundMe campaign. If you go to bbsradio.com/onthelevel, you will see the GoFundMe tab that will take you directly to the campaign. Anything that you can donate in order to keep my show going week after week, I will absolutely be humbly grateful for. Once again, that's bbsradio.com/onthelevel. You will see the GoFundMe tab. It'll take you right to the campaign. Thank you very kindly in advance for all of your donations. Now let's get back to the show. Hi, this is J. Lewis Mills, host of On the Level with J. Lewis Mills. If you are in the Los Angeles area and you need new headshots, I would like to recommend Eric Lee Huffman. He actually did my demo reel. You can reach Eric at headshotsbyhuffman@gmail.com. That's headshotsbyhuffman, H-U-F-F-M-A-N, thebrandonmarshall@gmail.com. Or you can call him at 323-364-4685. 323-364-4685. Tell him Jay Lewis sent you. Now let's get back to the show. I swear, my show has the best music. Okay. My show has the best music. I can't even turn that off right now. It's not cooperating. Okay, so the question was, Jay Lewis, I follow you on Instagram and notice you deleted a lot of posts dealing with police brutality and racism. Why did you delete all your posts? I deleted my posts for two different reasons. The first one was I was getting angry because every day I kept seeing something new. Number two, and this is the sad part of the situation, I actually mentioned it on a couple of my posts that I actually had to delete. But I work in an industry where people will look at your social media, and if they think you're going to be a problem, you won't get a job. That's the lesser reason why I deleted everything off of there. The majority of the reason is because I felt like I needed to be more positive because I was bringing myself down. Every day that I get up, the first thing I do is answer emails, go to my social media. If I've got any questions or if I have any requests for anything, I will do all of that before I even get up. So that's when I was seeing all of that, and it was a never-ending thing. And I knew that I had the television show that I'm going to end up telling you all about pretty soon. I knew that I was going to be on that as well. So I had a conversation with a very close friend of mine, and they helped me understand how being positive would do a lot better than being negative, because everybody is sharing the negative, but the people in my industry that are sharing all the negative, they are already established people. They will be all right if they never get a call for a job again. I'm an actor through and through. Even though I have been doing this professionally for 5 years, I haven't made anything other than the best out of opportunities that I have gotten. I have not made it in this industry. In other words, my voice isn't big enough yet for me to go against the grain like some of my other friends or people that I follow on social media. And my thought pattern was, if they could do it, so could I. That's not true. Whether how much you agree with what I'm saying or no matter how much you disagree with what I'm saying, it's still the truth. So I did that again because I was almost getting sick to my stomach just going to my own social media. But I felt like I had something to say. I said it. You saw it. I deleted it. I'm moving on to trying to be more positive. It is unfortunate because I was getting pretty interested with these questions I was getting. It's unfortunate that I only got to, I think I read 8 or 9 of them. I kind of told the network that I'm going to try my best to stay to an hour instead of going an hour and a half, hour and 20 minutes. So, you know, I'm already 7, 8 minutes over. I thank you all, really, for joining me this week. I'm trying to think of, usually I have a ending comment because of the show that I just did. I'm trying to think of what I can say to you this week. This week, I will say thank you. Thank you for listening to my show. I get the numbers every Thursday, and I do have a good number of listeners. So I thank you for being here. I thank you for allowing me to give you a different perspective. If you follow me on my social media, thank you for believing in me enough to follow me on my social media. I'm not one of those people that posts things because, oh, I want to get the most likes or I want to get the most followers. If I don't get another like on anything that I post, if I don't get another follower, I am fine. I am absolutely fine with the core friends and fans that I have. I appreciate those of you that have seen my work and have acknowledged my work and told me how good you believe my work is. I humbly thank you for that, because that's just validation that I am doing what I believe I should be doing. Next week, same time, same station. I don't know. I've got a couple of options on a guest next week. We'll just see how that goes. I am absolutely going to do a show like this again. It'll have to be down the road because I just did this one. Again, thank you all for being here. Have a great week. Love yourselves. Love those around you. Understand that this is a new day. And if you haven't changed your thinking, you better hurry up and get on board, because this is going to be a new America. Blessings to you all. Have a good night. We are out.
Are you inspired? Can I inspire you more? Come join me every Wednesday night at 8 p.m. here at BBS Radio. Let's get inspired together. Come join me. You'll be glad you did.